Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, youtube.com/1080AM, the fan, or twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan. Thanks for partying with us. The NCAA, death to the NCAA could be coming. We saw this pop up late last night, and then earlier this morning, the stories started to flood in. The SEC and the Big Ten are really the ones leading the charge on kind of reshaping how college sports are going to be played. We already knew that through conference realignment, but right now we heard Jim Harbaugh, remember last year, he kept saying it, I think like three or four times, that revenue sharing should be a part of college football. Players should get a piece of the revenues that are coming in. Well, there is a proposal there that they are calling the modern model, where they would not only share the revenue with their players, but help the NCAA get out of lawsuits that they are currently facing. NCAA versus House, Eddie House, is the center of a class action lawsuit against the NCAA that is set for trial in January of next year. And basically what they're looking for is they want their piece of the action for over 7,000 student athletes that could get money based off their name, image, and likeness over decades of the NCAA's existence.
Oops.
If that does go to trial and they do win, which many people do expect them to win, the NCAA, there's reports out there that says that the NCAA could be on the hook for $4.2
billion.
$4.2 billion.
Yeah, that's what happens when you F around and exploit workers for decades.
Yeah, that's a big issue that they could have. And look, the NCAA gets money hand over fist every year, but they are a party planning committee that spends a lot of money on every other sport. You think of every NCAA championship across every single level, right? Division I, Division II, Division III, men's and women's sports alike. All of the money that comes in, it goes out very quickly. And so $4.2 billion a year, sure, that does come in. But the NCAA, in order to sustain all the other sports, that's going to be impossible. And the NCAA could cease to exist if NCAA versus House goes against the NCAA.
The thing about this is, and I, with respect to what you're saying, I totally understand what you're saying as far as how they use their revenue. I would venture to guess that if you get to the books, there's a lot of waste in there, and there's a lot of fat, and there's a lot of people who got very rich off the back of these players.
And absolutely.
That's where I think the judge is going to go, Welp, better get some private equity then.
Well, it'd be a jury to do it. Well, and look, the NCAA would just fold. The NCAA would just fold and just be like,
which is what
we have no other option. And look, everybody says the NCAA is corrupt and they're poorly run. Those things are true. Mm-hmm. But you rip that away, every other sport outside of football and basketball gets ripped to the studs, and a lot of them cease to exist.
Number one, I don't want to see that. But I think it might require, I think where we're at might require the NCAA going away. Or this version of the NCAA as we know it. As in, they no longer touch anything else. And the only thing that they handle is the money set aside by those institutions that make the money, i.e. football and men's basketball. And if women's basketball keeps growing and that becomes a revenue generator over the next decade or so, them as well. But the only thing they do is they party plan.
They do.
They don't manage anything. They don't get payouts. They don't get commissioners that make tens of millions of dollars. That stuff goes away. The corporate money laundering that the NCAA firm basically was for 40 years ceases to exist in every facet.
Yeah. And look, the conferences, they're all separate. And that's what it may come down to, is that every conference has to operate on its own for if the NCAA does lose this. But what the modern model that the Big Ten and SEC are spearheading right now is to try and get out ahead of it and say, hey, these old days are gone, and this is all we can do moving forward, is we can be better moving forward. And what they're saying is that they're looking at $15 to $20 million per school is what they're looking at right now to be part of the revenue share. And that's a big chunk of change for a lot of universities. Like you said, though, I think what it'll force teams to do is spend their money more wisely, mm-hmm. and trim the fat on whether it's conference commissioners or other sports, if we're being quite honest.
And that's what I don't want to see. I want to see if the jury here finds that, and I think they will. I think they will find in favor of the plaintiff here. I genuinely do, because the evidence we all know is overwhelming and astounding against the NCAA. It just is, especially with the way legislation has had over the past 36 months.
Yeah, but it will be interesting to see kind of legally how it holds up to how much the NCAA is on the hook for, mm-hmm. because of the fact that NIL laws and rules didn't exist mm-hmm. before a handful of years ago. So you're trying to go 40 years ago, we were operating under a completely different set of rules. And now you want to hold us accountable because things have changed now. And that's going to be the hard part.
The legality of that is, that's the thing is,
and it doesn't make what the NCAA did right.
And that's the thing is, everybody knows that what the NCAA was doing was protecting their own ass.
Yeah,
to generate their own money, and in sense, what that, because this is an antitrust case, it can go back retroactively, and that's why they could have a settlement that pays out those past players.
There are a lot of sports lawyers and corporate lawyers that do say that the NCAA is up against it right now.
There's just not a way out.
And this will be really interesting to see if they can get the lawyers to say, all right, you guys, moving forward, you guys have done enough. We're not going to completely cripple the NCAA and make it an entity that cannot exist anymore. You guys are going to have to pay your penance, but it won't be $4.2 billion.
I think it could be a number that big, but it's paid out over decades.
Yeah.
It gets put into a trust and managed that fast. Well, I think this is
going to be interesting. This is a pivot point.
This is like a legal ruling where you life with parole. This is kind of what this is. It's like you get to live, but the way that you live and how you live is going to be vastly different and incredibly regulated.
It should be.
Yes.
Because the way the NCAA operated with their arbitrary, you know,
make it up as you go rulings, fly by the seat
of your pants, and hammering some schools, but letting other ones skate, sitting there in whatever you picked and choose to smash a school for. But, you know, Emmert gets all of the hate. The university presidents are the ones to blame. Mark Emmert is a figurehead because every one of those, like, if it, they have, like, all of the their different subcommittees, right? Mm-hmm. And it, when you have the rules committee that's out there that's handing down punishments to universities, the people sitting on those are not Mark Emmert. It's university presidents, university athletic directors, conference commissioners. Those are the ones. So, like, everything that the NCAA made itself into was made into by university presidents.
Which are and people that have no idea about athletics.
It's across Division III all the way up to Division I. Mm. So, like, you quite literally would have a case where a student athlete took some money and you had Division III or Division II presidents, ADs, admins that are ruling on a life they don't know about. Even if they are in athletics, like, it's a completely different world being in the FBS as opposed to D2 or D3. Yes. And they've changed a lot of the way that these infractions committees and rules committees have operated over the last handful of years. And just like Larry Scott, just like George Kliavkov, Mark Emmert does deserve a bunch of the blame because he couldn't get everybody on the same page. But just as the Pac-12 was an S show because of the university presidents, so is the NCAA here. And that's the hard part.
As much as you hate the Lakers, I hate Mark Emmert. this is great from the Vancouver Fort text line. The irony of the NCAA being punished retroactively would be beautiful because it's exactly what they did to those schools for years.
Yes.
Like vacating wins.
Yep.
What?
It does nothing.
What?
It does nothing.
What are we doing? Know.
But that's the only power that they have now, is to vacate their wins because they control record books.
Take that away too. away too.
That's the dumbest penalty.
Just
of
rip
all.
Everything. Like, leave them just standing there in their underwear and go full Game of Thrones.
You guys
shame march them through the square.
You guys remember when Louisville didn't win the national title?
Yeah. Oh my God. Ugh. Or USC didn't win a national title.
They didn't.
Or I don't know, a Heisman Trophy? God.
Well, that's the Heisman Trust you can be upset at, too.
Yes. Real quick, did you see the video Reggie walking into the Heisman Trust building and them all applauding and cheering? Yes, welcome back. You did this, you freaking monsters.
Yeah,
hey, we're all trying to find the guy that did this.
I was so livid when I saw that. I was like, are you kidding me right now? No, you sit there quietly with your head between your legs while he walks around and laughs at you. You old, dumb people.
Between the legs? Is that where the head was at?
Yes. I was being nice.
So they should have booed him.
No.
They should have booed him on the
way in. Shut up and put your head down.
Boo! You don't deserve this trophy.
No business. No business celebrating and welcoming him back.
God. Why?
You're the ones who did it!
Reinstated it?
Good God!
Yeah. I mean, some of those people may be dead that took it away from him.
Probably.
It's like the judge standing outside a jail cell for a wrongly convicted felon. Hey, really happy for you, bud. Great job. Great job today.
Those dead ones that OJ killed them too?
Yeah.
The evidence was against him.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
The glove didn't fit.
So dumb. Absolutely hate it. Video made me viscerally angry.
That's not good. You know what? It's never going to change. Archie Griffin, no longer the two-time Heisman Trophy winner. Reggie Bush got it twice.
There you go.
He's got it twice.
Yeah, but don't forget.
He won it, took it away.
Also, the only one
got it back.
Only one to ever get it 20 years apart.
That's right. That's right. Super senior.
COVID Bush ain't got nothing on this.
See, it would have been great if Reggie Bush just walked into that ceremony and just went,
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Airing of grievances, just going all Festivus on him.
I would have supported every last second of it.
Oh, man.
It's a shame Mark Emmert isn't here to tell him to go to hell.
Yeah, you really?
He died?
No, yeah. I mean in the room.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's here.
And then show up at his hater's funeral.
Yikes. Tell me how you really feel, Danny.
Give me about 30 seconds and I will.
I think we already heard. I think you made it pretty clear where you stand on this Reggie Bush situation.
You have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. We roll on next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Dusty on the Fan.
Times aren't good at the University of Colorado right now. Coming off a 4-8 season. And what, 20? We have what, 24 players entering the portal for Colorado? I think that's what they're up to. 24 players in the portal.
Seems like a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot. But that's the way Dion wants to build his roster, even though a lot of the guys that have entered the portal have been highly touted recruits. One guy is not a highly touted recruit. His name is Xavier Smith. And The Athletic did a write-up on Xavier Smith and kind of Colorado's transfer portal. What happens to the guys that enter the portal on the way out? And there's a couple quotes in The Athletic tweet that accompanied the article. Where Smith says, "I was actually getting mad, like tears coming to my eyes, because, bro, you never even tried to get to know me," talking about his relationship with Deion Sanders, saying he was destroying guys' confidence and their belief in themselves. The way he did it, it could have been done with a little more compassion. Just a couple of a taste of what was said by a former player who went through it. And look, for people that think that when you are on a football team, you're just going to have a great relationship with your head coach and that everything is going to be rosy and he's going to be your mentor for years and forever. Most of the time, that's not the case.
No.
Like, most of the time, guys will talk to the head coach during the recruiting process. You'll talk to him when he gets on campus quite a bit. But after that, your relationship is with your position coach and your coordinator. And oftentimes, if you're talking to the head coach, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you have those...
Unless you're the quarterback. That's just the nature of the beast.
You have those fleeting conversations, and, you know, you're cordial with your head coach or whatever, but your real relationships are with your position coaches and your coordinators, because those are guys you are with all the time.
How many people do you think, the young athlete, when they, prior to the portal period, a big-name coach would come in the house... And they would think, I'm playing for this coach.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal.
And it's because you think of your high school coach, because the relationship you have with your high school coach, your coach knows you, knows your parents. It's probably known about you coming up for years and
teaches you.
Yeah. And you probably have a class with him, you know. That's not college.
Yeah. And the exception is that if you're really, 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 really good, then they love you. But it really is not that. And some coaches do have those relationships, and some players do have those relationships with those coaches. But
those are few and far between.
Yeah, it's not the reality of what most of college football is. So in that vein, I kind of give Dion a little bit of grace there, especially when he's overhauling a roster that was absolutely dreadful when he first stepped in.
And he made no bones about what he was coming. Like, he did not hide behind the facade of, oh, we'll see what we have here. No, the man came in and said, we got Louie and you better get to step in.
But there is another step to this where I understand when you're on one of those teams, you become defensive when you see an article like this written. But Shedeur Sanders, son of Dion, he's got a good relationship with the head coach, unless he's ranked fourth out of the Suns voting.
Yeah, I mean, you know? he gets put in the kid voting, yeah. and you can fall off real quick.
Shedeur Sanders quote tweeted that Athletics article and said, I don't even remember him, to be honest. Bro had to be very mid at best. That is opening up the floodgates. And now people are just roasting Shedeur Sanders because, look, the guy leaves and enters the portal, and you go 4-8, and you go 1-8 in conference play. You probably shouldn't be calling people mid, right? You probably shouldn't be opening up, especially when you're trying to establish yourself as a leader on a team and a leader of men in a locker room where there are projections that Shedeur Sanders could possibly be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. Doubt it. But there is some people who project Shedeur to be, at the very least, a first or second round pick in next year's NFL draft. And do we remember what was said about Spencer Rattler this weekend when he was a guy that came in as a five-star, highly touted prospect to Oklahoma and ended up at South Carolina? And there was 123 selections in between him and Bo Nix, who was the sixth quarterback drafted in the draft. This is what Ian Rappaport said about Spencer Rattler.
That is some of the issue. The ceiling for Spencer Rattler, teams really wonder, can this guy be a long-time or even short-time starter? Is he going to be a career backup? I want to go through some of the teams that did work and visited with him who might have a needed backup quarterback. Texans, Seahawks, Colts, of course, have Flacco. Giants did not end up taking the quarterback. The Raiders, of course, did not. The Packers as well. But I want to mention something in addition to this. And this is kind of weird to say, honestly. Spencer Rattler did a reality show in high school. It's called QB1 Beyond the Lights. It did not make him look great. And it is unbelievable how many different teams mentioned to me the image of him in that show and how they can't get it out of their heads, which I think would be a public service announcement to all 17-year-olds. But it is fascinating as teams weigh whether or not to draft him.
That's a guy who, he was 17 when he did that quarterback
and
show.
And he looked like QB1. An arrogant douche.
And yes, he is now 23 years old, six years later.
Good God.
And that stuck with him through the draft process.
I mean, not that you can't change, and not that you especially won't change from that age to that age. You will change a ton. But there is a certain makeup that I think that teams are looking for, and quarterback prima donna, it's second to wide receiver. That's in prima donna rankings. It's the wide receivers, the absolutely crazy, the quarterbacks, the crazy's a little bit more subdued, but the prima donna maybe amplified a bit more. But there's that makeup that you look for, even when they're young, to be a bit more poised, to be a bit more locked in than their peers. That's the whole point of being the leader. And if you see that early on, that impression, fair or not, does linger because of the expectations that come with that position and that privilege.
Shedeur Sanders firing off a tweet.
Yes.
I don't even remember him, to be honest. Had to be very mid. Talking about a former teammate.
That's going to come up on his NFL draft day. That's going to come up.
And it may be one of several things. Yeah. Because the finger pointing that has been coming out of the Colorado program, and I've said this so many times, I hope Dion does it different and is successful. But this right here, how many quarterbacks in the NFL or high level, any of the guys that were drafted, have those tweets that are out there?
None. Not one.
Not a single one.
Not even Caleb, who has his own weirdness.
All of the quarterbacks.
Jaden Daniels has all of the early baggage and doesn't have that.
There have been guys who have had, I don't know, tweets resurface. Was it Josh Allen who was tweeting out rap lyrics when he was in
high school,
middle school or high school. Yeah. You had Mitchell Trubisky with the, I don't even think I can say what his tweet was on here, but he liked a certain anatomy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he tweeted that out when he was in high school, but teams will justify and overlook that, not the bashing of a teammate.
That's
or
there's immaturity versus
the football side of things.
And I think that's the spot that becomes the separator of like, not great.
That will be interesting to kind of see how NFL teams kind of navigate. Like, and look, part of Shadur is like what Caleb Williams and the knocks on Caleb Williams are. Dude, he's like a Gen Zer quarterback who lives on social media, who it's normal to call people out on social media. That's the way that they grew up. It's not the way that any of these GMs grew up.
Nope.
It's not the way any of the head coaches grew up, but it's the way that they did. And it'll be interesting to see how that is navigated as the draft process kind of goes through in the next evolution of prospects that come up and come through. Because sure, if a receiver has a tweet like that, you're like, yeah, I get it.
Eccentric, weird wide receiver.
Probably. A corner has that. Yeah.
You've seen the chart, like, right? Yeah, that breaks down like how quarter or how positions tweet.
No.
The gist of it is like quarterback's like, yeah, all right, great, great job, team. Tight end is like derpy, derp, derp, derp. Wide receivers walk silently and carry a knife behind you, for you have many enemies.
That's right.
Like, that's the, like, it goes through like the different levels of tweets versus for like the position that you play. And it's like, yeah, yeah, that's it. And if you get outside of what the, like, George Kittle, Travis Kelce tweet something derpy, it's like, yeah, big meathead derps. Like, that's,
yep.
But when you get out, that's what I was saying. Like, the framing of it, the expectations that come with that position and that privilege mean you can't throw guys under the bus. And if you do, they better be absolute dirtbags that you can be like, well, here's the real deal. He's Aaron Hernandez and he was killing people. Like,
like this text says, not to mention the IG post mid-game during a game where they blew a large lead at halftime.
And look, being a dummy is far more forgivable and easy to forgive than being an ass.
Yes. it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of which, Charles Barkley, dummy, not an ass. Coming up next for our worst day on the web. But first, here's a big goon with a Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
It may be the longest running feud in the NBA. No, not who is number one, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and for all you Kobe acolytes out there, he's not top 10. Calm down. But it's Charles Barkley.
Whoa. No, you don't have Kobe
in the top 10.
A top 10?
He's not even a top 3 Laker.
Jeez.
Magic that's Queen Shaq.
That's not what Shaq said.
What's he going to say? He's dead.
What, Shaq?
No, Kobe.
Oh.
Of course he's going to say that. Come on.
Well, Kobe's really good.
Sure. I'm not going to argue that.
I mean, Lakers historically really good.
Yeah.
Having three of the top 10 is not a bad.
No,
I mean,
not
that's
at all.
Not out of the...
And again, Kobe being 11th, not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But there you go. Is the ongoing battle between Charles Barkley and the state of Texas and particular cities in Texas. It started, God, 20 years ago with the rather large women in San Antonio, as Ooh. He liked to call them.
I'd rather go to San Antonio to big old women.
That was a callback to a line when the San Antonio Spurs were in the playoffs, and they didn't want to go to San Antonio because he didn't want to do the Riverwalk with all those large women.
Well, the Riverwalk does smell awful.
You know what's funny is I got out of basic training. The Riverwalk was a slice of freedom for me. It was had the first women I had seen in 6+ weeks.
It probably still smelled better than the barracks, too.
It did. Also, we went to Hooters, and I saw real women for the first time in 6 weeks.
Well, I don't think they were all real.
Danny getting out of basic training and going to a Hooters is the most on-brand thing ever.
So here's what happened. This is a quick derail. Story time. I got out of basic training. I had my BCGs, otherwise known as my birth control glasses, the giant, you know, brown horn-rimmed glasses that nobody looks good in. My dad came down to graduation. He's like, how about we get rid of those? I'd be like, that'd be swell. So we went and found an optometrist the same day appointment. Walk in, got my prescription, got my contacts. Got out of there. My dad's like, let's go get some food. I'm like, all right. He's like, you want to go to the Riverwalk? Sure. You know, this is before, you know, Google. You try and go and see what you find. And my dad's like, how about two birds, one stone? Hooters.
Perfect. Again,
so
right on brand.
It was
is that a new euphemism? We're calling them birds now?
Yeah. definitely a lot of birds involved. But yeah, that's so I ended up at the Hooters. It was not a planned destination, nor did we know it was there. It was just very happenstantial and circumstantial.
Okay.
So there you go. But Charles Barkley, he ignited a new feud, and this time not San Antonio, but instead further to the south on the Gulf of Mexico with the city of Galveston.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna sit near the Cancun. We're gonna sit near the Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they in the beach. Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all and y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So they're not taking a little.
Come on, they didn't even try, man. We're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water. Come on, man.
I love it too, because in the video, Shaq is just, he's deceased.
Dying.
He's deceased.
Lying over. Oh, man.
He's not wrong, though. Have you ever been to Galveston, either of you?
No, I've never been to Galveston.
No, I
have
not.
It's America's version of Somalia, where, like, I want to say it's Satan's butthole. It's awful. I hate everything about it. It's gross, disgusting, nasty, and humid.
Oh.
Hey, don't hold back. Tell me what you think.
Yeah.
I do not enjoy it. And I'm talking about particularly the beach. Like, where you're on the coast. It is gross.
Yeah.
It's just gross.
I have never heard it referred to as America's Somalia.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. That's the frame of reference that I have when I'm there, because it's so stuffy and nasty, and like you chew the air. New Orleans has that same feel too.
Yeah, there's a lot of really bad towns in Texas too. Yeah. But you think it's the worst?
Oh, like I hate it.
Oh, okay,
hate it.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not a Gulf of Mexico, Texas person.
All right.
Houston, don't like it. Not for me.
Just, Houston is just concrete jungle. Like that city sucks.
Yeah, that whole Corpus Christi, like that whole area. Like, nah, I can do without it.
Not for you.
Not for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not where he was done though.
No, kept going.
He came back, two nights later, and Chuck had to backtrack, but still double down.
I don't want the beehive and Jay after Chuck. Just know that I apologize. I do not want the beehive and Jay after me.
So how do you like Galveston now?
It's beautiful.
Would you go on vacation?
You got a
chance. Hell no, I ain't going on vacation.
You've got a chance to wipe the slate clean here.
You got
to
say, I would go to Galveston.
Let
me tell you something. That water's so dirty, I'd rather go to San Antonio. I'd rather go to San Antonio with them big old women.
No, nope. I'm not going to Galveston. I want to go to the beach down in the river walk and watch them big old women walk around. Yeah,
so you know what? So you know what sets him off. Okay, so you know what? We're going to
rather go, Chuck? San Antonio. That's what they invented Victoria's Secret, Chuck.
Why is it secret?
Because them little women down there, they can't get in them cute little underwear. They wear bloomers down in San Antonio.
Oh, my God. Somehow.
Victoria's Secret down there. Still
somehow we are going to transition from that to this.
You like no parts of Texas.
He found out, because Beyonce's mom tweeted at him.
Well, from Houston.
He does not, Beyonce's from Galveston. Yeah. Like, she's from the city that Chuck is going in on. So he was like, Swamp the Bay Hive, I want nothing to do with.
Yeah. You don't.
My ire is now towards San Antonio and a little bit at Galveston still.
And not Galveston the city, Galveston the beach.
That's right.
Because there is a difference. But I love myself a good double down. You know what I love even more? A good triple down.
Wait, Galveston, man.
Oh, what is that? No. Oh, you were there. Oh.
I had a great time. Oh, I said. First of all,
I had a great time in the local hangouts when we played there. When we were down there for training camp. You just can't go to the beach. I want to say that. Everybody was great to me in Galveston. But your beach was dirty as hell.
Did you rent a bike? Did you actually rent a bike and go?
No, I walked around. Hey, I remember that spot was awesome. I went to that spot pretty much every night, actually. But the beach was still dirty as hell. That ain't my fault.
Yeah, that's where.
Yeah, look at him.
That's where the Rockets.
Joseph, I remember y'all taking great care of me down in Galveston. I just couldn't go on the beach. I didn't have no steel toe boots.
Gotta have those for a
Gotta have steel toe boots if you're going on that beach in Galveston.
Why you need steel toe boots?
Oh, because you don't want to mess up my pedicure.
Pedicure? Rocks and oil.
Oh, my God. You're stepping on sand, dirty sand, oil. Come on. You know I get a mani-pedi every week. I can't mess up these pretty feet.
I love it. The best part about this is somebody who had a picture from Charles Barkley at a bike shop in Galveston from the Houston Rockets training camp, what I would imagine was, 97, 96, 97.
Now, you may be wondering, why is their beach so dirty? They drill for oil right off the coast. Like, there are quite literally hundreds
of oil rigs,
of oil derricks, in the water all along the shoreline. It's dirty water, and they've had massive oil spills, a bunch of massive oil spills. So it is not a great beach.
No, and that's why I compared it to Somalia, because you have a lot of the same issues through that area where you just have nasty, oily, disgusting water.
You know, I don't think that's why you called it Somalia. Hmm. It was just the worst thing that you could come up with.
No, yes, but also because of the nasty, disgusting, muggy air and water.
It is like when you go down to, Houston in southeast in Texas, it is like you walk outside in the summer, it feels like you're getting kicked in the stomach.
Oh, no, it's like chewing air.
It is so humid. You just go, and you have to, catch your breath, because everything is air-conditioned, because I don't know how. My question is, why did people, settle, I'm going to live in Houston before air conditioning existed, because that is a life that nobody should want to live.
I don't.
It's like 89 degrees and 100% humidity.
It's super gross.
You walk through, you have to push the air out of the way.
And
as
I always say, you can only get so naked.
You can only get so naked.
In the cold, I understand if people settle in the cold, because you can bundle up.
No, I still don't even. Not the cold. I would much rather have the heat than the cold.
Not that heat.
Yeah, I would. Oh, I would.
Give me the Vegas heat over the Houston heat any day.
Of course. It's dry heat.
Give me the dry heat.
Just like here, we have a dry rain.
Yeah.
Doesn't get you soaking wet. No. It's just a dry rain every now and then.
Go to Seattle and then you're drenched.
That's right.
See?
It's a lot more of a dry rain down here.
But shout out doubling and tripling down against the cities that you hate. And also, the Oregon beaches are free and clear here.
That's right.
They're not catching any strays.
No.
It's because they're beautiful.
It's because they're also not beaches, they're coasts.
You stop that.
There you go. Fell right into the trap.
You stop that. Move back to California.
I mean, pay me to.
No.
Oh.
I have $3.
Jeff's like, what's your number?
$3 million. I've got $3.
Yeah, call me SpongeBob. Or is that Patrick?
Well, the money is a great transition here, because the Oakland A's, stop me if you've heard this one before, they're broke.
Just say with the Oakland A's, it's just stop.
Yeah. The thing they said that they weren't going to do, they're trying to do it. We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
1, 2, 3. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want to? But can't stand to see me walk out the door.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
As you said, going to the break, stop me if you heard this one before. John J. Fisher is a broke boy.
I will not stop you on that.
Oh, okay.
That's why we both shut up.
Yep, there you go. Bill Shakin from the LA Times is reporting the Athletics have hired an investment banker to secure $500 million in private financing. Weird. I thought that John J. Fisher and the A's assured everybody that they had all the money and that they had all the financing secured, and that's what got the vote that allowed them to move from Oakland to L.A.
They
to Las Vegas
are not going to move to Vegas.
I think it's done, and they're going to lose. Shout out, you know what? Shout out to the land developers there that stole $50 million from them.
But here's the thing. I don't think that John J. Fisher moves the A's to Vegas. I think that if they do move,
it's a different
what
owner.
They're trying to do is John J. Fisher has been reluctant to sell anything of the Oakland A's. Now they're in a point where they need $500 million or this stadium does not happen. And they need it fast, because if they don't break ground by the end of this year, then that stadium will not be done by 2028. At which point, Major League Baseball is going to step in and force him to sell the team. I think there's going to be plenty of people that are going to want a piece of a professional sports franchise. But do you want to get in bed with a guy who is absolutely the worst owner in all of professional sports right now? John J. Fisher is that guy.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a large palate for that because of how cheap he has been, the reputation that he has, not just in baseball, but in Oakland, in Las Vegas. Now that you're starting to see he doesn't operate like a businessman on the up and up, which most billionaires aren't on the up and up, if we're being quite honest. But he's a shady dude, and he's wildly cheap. I don't know if there's going to be people who want to align themselves with John J. Fisher unless the plan is to torpedo him as the majority stake owner and get his ass out as the majority owner and buy the rest of the team up. That seems like the most reasonable thing, because there's more of a swell now than ever before to get him out of ownership in baseball.
I think it's become so detrimental they don't have a choice.
Major League Baseball?
Major League Baseball. And that does exist. It's just a matter of when that lever is pulled. Like,
I mean, they got $389 million from the state.
Which
they're going to get.
They're fighting against still. They're going to get it, but they're still fighting against it.
Yeah, because they took it from schools.
Yes, teachers are still fighting against it. Who knows? Maybe that there is a way that they end up putting a block to that.
It is think about this. It's a $1.5 billion stadium that they're trying to build. Major League Baseball gave them twice as much as they normally do to build a stadium.
And they still can't come up with
money. And they're $500 million short. I just imagine John J. Fisher, like, I'm going to put on my Mark Cuban driving around looking for DeAndre Jordan's house, just like searching for him in Dallas, being like, where are you? Where are you? John J. Fisher's going door to door. He's selling chocolate bars in magazine
subscriptions.
He's got his hat out.
Well, or the next step.
He's like, hi, would you like to support the Oakland A's move to Las Vegas?
The next step is sitting at the off ramp of the 405 with a cardboard sign.
There we go.
Which I've heard actually make pretty decent money.
Yeah.
Turns out.
You do.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah, you do. But this is a broke boy move by one of the worst owners in all of professional sports. And I think Major League Baseball is doing the right thing by giving him enough rope to hang himself.
Yes.
And he's going to do it. He's done it time and time again with the city of Oakland, with the city of San Jose. This is going to be the last time where they say, we gave you a golden parachute and you screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, we see the team go for sale. Las Vegas is going to have the first crack at retaining the A's. Mm-hmm. I believe that. But then, but there's going to be plenty of
here comes Portland
places that are lining up because Major League Baseball cannot afford to move the A's any further east.
No, they can't. Las Vegas is the cutoff.
Portland is going to be in the running for it. I think Vegas, they're going to have first crack. Salt Lake City's an interesting one, though, man, because we see with Ryan Smith.
Because of the hockey?
Well, yes, they do, because Ryan Smith already bought the Utah Jazz. Mm-hmm. He bought hockey. He's in it deep right now, and he is a rich man. Do not get me wrong.
He's worth, I want to say, like $15 billion after he sold his Qualtrics.
But this is going to be more billions of dollars, building your own stadium.
And a lot of escrow and a lot of it's gonna be a lot. Cash.
Sacramento seems to think that they have a shot at keeping the A's because that's where they're going to be playing temporarily.
Which, maybe.
I don't think so.
I feel like they need a stadium.
They are, and they feel like they got a piece of land, and there's been like this little buzz about it, but of local business leaders kind of rallying the troops to try and keep them in Sacramento so they don't leave. They will be going and playing in Sacramento starting next year until 2028 when the Vegas stadium is supposed to be done. But I think that if you look at where Major League Baseball kind of wants the A's to go, it's Vegas. They desperately want to get in there before the NBA gets in there as well.
Get your foothold because otherwise you won't have any.
And they're very, we may see oversaturation of Vegas sports.
From none to every.
And
in a market that's not that big.
No. It's not. They support the you-know-what out of
the Golden Knights
because they were first. They got in there. They support the Raiders, but a lot of those folks are coming in because it's one trip, right? It's one trip every so often for most teams in the NFL, but Chiefs fans, Broncos fans, Chargers fans, I should say, Chargers fans coming from San Diego who will go to Vegas to watch a game, not to LA. Mm-hmm. They'll go there one time a year, and then the rest of the NFL goes there one time a year. Major League Baseball is different, right? Like baseball, you need a hometown support system in place because when the Mariners go there three times a year, people are only going to go once, right? It's not like what you have in the NFL where it's one trip a year. And that would be the interesting part about the NBA going there too, is that and again, this stadium is like semi-indoor that they're proposing to build in Vegas. It's going to be 120 degrees.
It's 120 degrees in the summer, guys. There's no semi-anything about it. Where do you think Las Vegas ranks in media market size?
They're probably 28th.
40th.
Yeah.
Behind Green Bay.
Yikes.
And they're about to have a team in every sport.
Yeah.
Crazy to think about.
But more people go in there, visitors. Yes.
There's so many transplants.
Yes. Yeah. Which doesn't sustain or can't sustain that many teams.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting test there. And look, if you're telling me whether they're going to want to go and watch the Raiders, which is the NFL, which is king, NHL, which was the first one there, and that has their heart, or baseball, run by the cheapest owner in sports, they're not going to support that.
A basketball team in a couple of years that's partially owned by LeBron James.
Sure.
Of which...
he'll be a terrible owner.
They'll spend money.
Ooh, Rufio's the good one. Can we please get Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney to buy the A's? They'd instantly be rejuvenated.
I mean...
they don't have that kind of money.
No, unfortunately they don't. But
they bought their soccer team for $2 million.
That's the kind of ownership you're looking for, though. That's for sure.
Yep.
Speaking of the NBA, we got a poll up. Which team has been the most disappointing so far in the playoffs? Four different options. You can go to at Danny and Dusty and make your vote count. And we'll get to that here in hour number three on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.